Okay, Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go. It is a minute past the hour on this, the 28th day of March, 2016. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. We are broadcasting live for these last two or three days, well, last three days of March and the beginning of April. April is the cruelest month. Or so T.S. Eliot said. I guess he didn't like spring. Anyway, that's where we are. And of course, if you want to be part of the merriment in real time, the live experience, as it were, well, by all means, head on over to HeadOnRadioNetwork.com and jump in the chat room. All you got to do is pick out a screen name and a password and behave yourself and you'll be right in there. Good evening, Jug of Punch. Good evening, Jules. Good evening, Lady Suki. Good evening, Little Gray. Good evening, Sentient Being and Soapbox Geezer and Texas T. And Tim from L.A. Good evening, one and all, capably moderated by longtime and veteran, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a third stage guild navigator, has folded space to become Man Cave. Many machines on X. Yes. Yes, indeed. So that's all set. This is, of course, a listener-supported broadcast effort, and we are running downhill toward the end of March, and we hope to end March with our full complement of fundraising accomplished so that for the third month in a row, we can beat the Swede. Remember, Beat the Swede is on all year long. That's what it's called, Beat the Swede, all year long. And we beat the Swede in January. That meant we got a $50 bump. We beat the Swede in February. That means we got a $60 bump. If we beat the Swede in March, we get a $70 bump. And April will be $80. You see how it goes? Yeah, it adds up in a real hurry. And that's a good thing because, remember, the amount of money we try to raise on any given evening, $200, is the minimum. Not the maximum, the minimum. It is the minimum amount to stay on the air for any given month. You know, I wish I could say, well, you know what, we've got everything covered for this year, so I'll just shut up about that. But we don't. We are a month-to-month experience, and, we do that by, you know, $5 at a time, $10 at a time, right? Okay. So if you want to help out, if you want to help us keep everything, the packets passing, the electrons electrolyzing and whatever, if you want to keep this program going, this little effort in independent broadcasting, I heartily encourage you to go over to headonradionetwork.com. Click on the tab called Contribute, yes, and just fill out the first screen there, your name, your address, that kind of thing. It's all kept quite confidential. And that part there where it asks you who you work for and what you do when you're working for them, you know, however many dollars it is you get from Big Guy spinning the hot vinyl there at WKRP, you can leave that blank. just get to the next screen, and that's where you decide PayPal, credit card, whatever. So, no, name important. Name important. We, among other things, Devin, we like to thank people for helping to keep independent media on the air. And, yes, happy birthday indeed to Devin. Devin is, 117 today? Well, okay. But anyway, yes. So 10 at 20, 20 at 10, 1 at 200, 2 at 100, 4 at 50, 8 at 25, 16 at 12.50, 32 at 6 and a quarter, or 64 at $3.13. And we're rounding up from 12.5 cents because, you know, it just doesn't work. So you've got that. So hopefully we will hit our minimum at some point this evening, and, you know, I can just shut up. As it is, and I didn't even get a prompt. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. Yes, there. Now that's out of the way. It is Moran Monday on the horn. I have waited all weekend for this because Moran Monday comes but once a week. And we've got lots and lots and lots of Morans with whom to deal. Yes. And it would be unfair. It would be unfair if we did not note that there was a... well, never mind. Wait a minute. Let's do this right. Let's do this right. Let's get this just... yes. All the stuff that we do on Moran Monday. Shall we? Yes, absolutely.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know, morons.
Hurry, hurry, hurry. Step right up, step right up. You will not believe your ears. Walk away from the midway, just a stone's throw. Not even a stone, just a bare hop, skip, and a little bitty leap over here to the Moran Monday tent. That's right, that's right. It's Moran Monday on the horn, and, well, what's behind this thin cybernetic veil of canvas? You will not believe your ears. No, sir, no, siree. Kitties and cousins, aunts and uncles, brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, they're all here. Every last one of them. The entire panoply of moranity. Of right-wing moranity. Birthers, deathers, ninthers, tenthers, baggers, booger-eaters, birchers, libertarians, Republicans. And they've all got guns. Yes. Yes, you can't tell the Morans without a program, and this here is the program that tells the Morans. You just can't tell them much. For $10 subscription subscribers, that works out to somewhere less than 17 cents per hour of programming each and every broadcast night. What a bargain, what a bargain. Yes, indeed, a bargain at twice the price. Now, do come on in, come on in. Don't be shy, don't be shy. Just walk right on up with the caveat, of course, that folks with small animals, goldfish that you want over there throwing ping pong balls, the occasional iguana, women with purses, babies, men with wallets or European-style messenger bags, you gotta keep a hand on all of them because the Morans can get grabby. Head for the hills or you'll be up to your armpits in Morans. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, indeed. And since I mentioned firearms, that seems an appropriate place to start this evening. Mm-hmm. There was a bit of a drama in Washington, D.C. today. You may remember a few years back when the Capitol Visitors Center was constructed underneath the capital of the United States. It was a little engineering feat unto itself, I must say. You get there from the north side of the Capitol. There's a great big plaza and everything, but you go down some stairs, and the entrance to the Capitol Visitor Center is there, and that's where you go to take the tour or get tickets to sit in the gallery and watch the legislate and get legislated, that kind of thing. You may recall several years ago when it was opening up, Oh, what was it? There was a right wing. There's always a, you know, there's always a right wing hissy about something, you know, because, you know, right wingers. They wanted a statue of Jeebus or something, or God the All Father with his big flowing beard and his lightning bolt of doom, or it didn't say under God, or it did in the potty, and whatever. And so the right wingers had a hissy. Well, I've been through there. It's a fascinating experience. It's a little museum. The Hall of Statuary is down there. Mm-hmm. So what happened today is the Capitol Police announced, run for your lives, for the love of God, run. And people did, because a guy showed up at the Capitol Visitors Center. According to the Associated Press, the guy who showed up at the Capitol Visitors Center was 66-year-old Larry Dawson. It was a year ago, well, it was last October, when Larry Dawson announced to the people in the House of Representatives that he was a prophet of God. Mm-hmm. Well, he came back. He was captured earlier today, Larry Dawson was, after he pulled a weapon at the Capitol Visitors Center and shot a Capitol police officer. Other Capitol police officers shot 66-year-old prophet of God Larry Dawson. Because just because you're a prophet of God doesn't mean that you are immune to bullets. Mm-hmm. So that's... But really, there was a lockdown and a shelter in place, right. Mm-hmm. Because freedom. Now, see, once upon a time, firearms in Washington, D.C. for personal ownership were illegal. But in the now infamous D.C. versus Heller decision, Fat Dead Tony Scalia put paid to that. And so folks can have guns in D.C. now, and they can transport guns into D.C. now. And Larry Dawson. Now, Larry Dawson was apparently from Antioch, Tenistan, mm-hmm. And I would assume in this case religiously insane, but that doesn't matter to the right wing. Sane, insane, everybody got a right to a gun. Yeah. So no further word on the status of the Capitol police officer. I have found them generally, in my experience there, to be some pretty well-trained police. And even though they are carrying enough weaponry to start a small war, to be pretty judicious in their interactions with the public. Their jurisdiction extends all around Capitol Hill. A couple of blocks, you know, even a couple of blocks past the Capitol, past the Supreme Court. I remember I would walk to the little corner market there on Massachusetts Avenue from time to time. That's where we went for half and half and milk and, you know, pop and so forth. And there'd always be a cruiser parked two blocks back because that's how far their jurisdiction extends. And now, for people who want to smoke cannabis in Washington, D.C., this matters because all of that is within federal jurisdiction, which means you can't, no, you can't, I don't care how long, no. It may be legal in D.C., but it ain't legal in that part of D.C. Right. So we have that, well, we have that moron with whom to begin. But yesterday was a real big deal for your Christian types. Yesterday was Easter. Yesterday was the day that they celebrate the murder of their God. I mean, it's a little like, you know, what if we made a holiday out of November the 22nd? Oh, yeah, we're celebrating John Kennedy. Yeah, but this is the day he was killed. Right. Great, huh? Or if we had made that date in April, the day that we celebrated the life of Dr. Martin Luther King. Yeah, well, anyway, the ancient church decided on that a couple of thousand years ago. It's not like we can really change anything. And, you know, Easter doesn't even fall on the same day every year. And it's the day 2,000 years ago when some guy was crucified, or 3 days after some guy was crucified, or more like 2-3 days and a few hours, whatever. So you had some Easter-y stuff going on. We went over a day early and celebrated on Saturday with the grandbabies. And have you ever seen what happens to a little kid when you just let them tear into a dozen-sized box of Peeps, and every kid has their own dozen Peeps? Whew, man. It's almost like they begin moving fast enough to slow time down. And that would have been fine, because having more time with them would have been fun. But no, I made 48 deviled eggs, and roasted and glazed a ham. And it was all very tasty. I don't know about you, but around here, you know, to devil something means to make it spicy and piquant. For instance, like after Christmas dinner, when we do the standing rib of beef, food porn, we'll after the roasting, we'll cut off the rib bones and save them for later. And like a day later, paint them with a sauce of spicy mustard and a little bit of half and half and some capers and whatnot, and put them under the broiler like that. And that's called deviled rib bones. I think it comes from English cookery. But to devil something is to use mustard to make something spicy and kind of hot, hence devil. But a lot of deviled eggs around here are sweet. Grr. Not mine. No, these were heavy on the mustard, a little bit of horseradish, dill pickles, not sweet, onions, some celery, some hot pepper, you know, cayenne, some Cholula hot sauce. Oh, yeah, they were good. Top it off with a little bit of Old Bay seasoning. They were gone in no time. But anyway, Easter came around, and this is Moran Monday. I'm getting somewhere, trust me. Easter came around, and just as 66-year-old prophet of God Larry Dawson was from Tennessee, we believe, so too was Marcus Donald. Marcus Donald is 31 years old. He's from the Memphis area, the greater Memphis area. And he wanted to celebrate the birth of the risen Christ by bringing his freedom protector to church. Because, after all, you never know where a gunfight is going to break out. And so he did. You can carry guns around all over the place in Tenistan. Because, as Wayne LaPierre has so frequently reminded us, and Tim from L.A. provided me with this More in Monday story. Thank you, Tim. It fits in ever so nicely. He brought Marcus Donald brought an assault rifle, semi-automatic assault rifle, and a loaded firearm with him to church. Because, you know, God helps those who help themselves. And you can't just wait for the fickle finger of fate lightning bolt to zoom down out of the sky and take out a bad guy with a gun. Wayne LaPierre has told us, and yea, verily, we who have ears to hear, we have heard that the only thing that will stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. And Marcus Donald was absolutely determined to be that good guy with a gun. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, when he showed up to church with a loaded .40 caliber Beretta in the pocket of his pants and a .300 blackout assault rifle in a backpack, the church dropped the dime on him. Jim Barnwell of Bellevue Baptist Church, Director of Communication Services, said, "We're thankful for the diligence of our security and the Memphis Police Department. What were the man's intentions? We don't know. We're thankful for our security people. What a great job they do." By now, you're beginning to ask yourself, wait a minute, wait a damn minute. Why did they drop the dime on this lawful gun owner, this upstanding defender of our Second Amendment rights, which are the only reason we have First Amendment rights to freedom of religion? Why? Why? I mean, after all, how many times have we seen Baptist churches in other parts of the country holding gun giveaways in order to bring the heathen flock nearer to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Huh? Well, even though Brother Barnwell says he ain't too sure, none too sure, if the church has a policy again guns, that his staff was real quick calling police when they seen Marcus Donald. Mm-hmm. Now, the police, on the other hand, while they come and they took him down and they arrested him, they have said, Marcus Donald may not even get a citation for carrying around the weapons if he had a valid permit. You may recall once upon a time in Colorado that a woman called 911 to report a not particularly healthy, mentally healthy, well, agitated would be a good word, man walking around the streets of Colorado Springs. 911 operator said, "Well, that's his ride. This is Merca." And then he went and murdered a couple of people. Well, we don't know for sure why the police didn't just tell the good, upstanding, Bible, God-fearing, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, homosexual, fundamentalist at the Bellevue Baptist Church to suck it up, buttercup. This is America. Well, wait a minute. We do know why.
Oh, shoot! I haven't mentioned that 31-year-old Marcus Donald was a black guy, and this here is a white church, have I? Oopsie! Because he was. So, a scary black dude. And if I look, if the photo... Yeah, oh my God, well, okay. A scary black dude wearing a pink and blue checkered shirt. A scary black dude wearing a pink and blue checkered shirt with dreadlocks. You know, that makes them... that gets you double plus bonus scary points when you're playing Dungeons of Blackness and you have to roll the 72-sided die. Yeah, the dreadlocks every time. So let's understand how it works in Merca. Balding, pasty face, doughy, overweight, white. You just take that gun anywhere you want to, sugar, and we'll understand you're just a protecting freedom. Okay? Black guy with guns, not so much. But this, of course, isn't going to change anyone's opinions. No. And then there's the other part, the other fun NRA story. Once upon a time, Little Red Riding Hood set off with a basket of goodies for her grandma's house. Little Red Riding Hood was carrying a Browning over and under double-barreled 12-gauge shotgun. Didn't know about that part, did you? Well, yes, it's there. It's there, absolutely. At least according to the National Rifle Association. Over on the NRA family website. Yeah, really, family. They've published a book of classic fairy tales for families. In which those fairy tales are transformed into heroic tales of good guys or kids, even, with guns. Little Red Riding Hood has a gun. Yeah. The wolf leaned in, jaws open wide, then stopped suddenly. Those big ears heard the unmistakable sound of a shotgun's safety being clicked off. Those big eyes looked down and saw that Grandma had a scatter gun aimed right at him. He realized that Grandmother hadn't been backing away from him. She had been moving towards her shotgun to protect herself and her home. I'm not kidding. Then there's Hansel and Gretel have guns. You remember Hansel and Gretel? Children with guns. Yeah. Before long, they heard a rustling in the leaves and slowly turned to see a magnificent 10-point buck drinking from a stream. Gretel readied her rifle and fired. Her training had paid off, for she was able to bring the buck down instantly with a single shot. She and Hansel quickly field-dressed the deer and packed up to head back home, hardly believing their luck. And then on the way home, they run across the gingerbread house. And they find out that there are some boys who are imprisoned there. And without waking the sleeping witch, they free him. The boys directed Hansel to the key that would unlock their cage, while Gretel stood at the ready with her firearm just in case, for she was a better shot than her brother. Mm-hmm. But that business about killing the deer in the forest, that deer, that forest probably, and the deer too, probably belonged to a king. And so at some point, the king's sheriff probably finds out that Gretel has been poaching in the king's forest and has her brutally tortured and dismembered. Isn't that just darling? It's just precious. It is, yes. Now we're in presidential politics, in terms of presidential politics, we're down to only one evangelical fundamentalist candidate, one upstanding Bible-believing Christ-centered God-fearing, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, and that of course is would be Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the man who forgot to become an American for a really long time. Yeah. And so on. Oh, thank you, Jeremy. Jeremy noting, I was low on data last week, so I've been absent. Please excuse, kind sir, loud and clear on TuneIn nonetheless. Yeah, it's the wave of the future, metered bandwidth. See, that's how they'll get around net neutrality. I know Devin's been, happy birthday again, dealing with metered bandwidth for years. If you're on some sort of satellite internet, you deal with that all the time. But I couldn't help noticing that around here, the local cable provider, Shentel, why, those skeevy bastards, the cable company, are metering bandwidth now. Hell. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, down the road, they'll be able to say, well, yeah, 10 gigs per month. Exactly. Exactly, Devin. Somewhere down the road, they'll be able to say, well, you know, listen, I mean, you're metered to the tune of 10 gigs per month. But if you use this service for movies, or if you don't listen to any non-corporate broadcasts, well, when you listen to information we approve of, it won't count against your monthly metering. Charming, right? But anyway, it was Easter Sunday. And, Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz was celebrating the resurrection of his zombie god. And he showed up on the Fox News TV, Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. And he was in a Christian mood. He was celebrating the risen Christ. Just listen, you'll be converted almost instantaneously.
Said this in part, we need to immediately halt the flow of refugees from countries with a significant Al-Qaeda or ISIS presence. We need to empower law enforcement to patrol and secure Muslim neighborhoods before they become radicalized. What exactly were you or are you proposing?
Well, Shannon, good morning. It's good to be with you, and happy Easter today.
Christ Jesus.
You know, this past week, all of us mourned this terrible terrorist attack in Brussels. And we have seen these attacks occurring over and over again. This attack was not a lone wolf. It wasn't an isolated incident. This was
part of a
global jihad being waged by radical Islamic terrorism. It is a jihad being waged on Europe, being waged on Israel, and being waged on the United States of America. And for 7 years, President Obama and Hillary
Clinton. Oh, time out, Jack. What? it's a jihad being waged on Israel? Suddenly, the airport gets blown up in Brussels, and it's a jihad on Israel? This guy's supposed to be an intellectual. Then again, being able to work the crossword puzzle in Highlights for Children will qualify you as an intellectual in the Republican Party. And I'd just like to note here, because this is going to take a little while. Yeah, you're right. Carol Baker, Queen of the Minions, notes that he makes slain in the spirit take on a whole new meaning. Yeah, oh, yeah, Raphaelito is a bloodthirsty one, without a doubt. Yo, by the way, just along the way, Mrs. Greenspan, Alan Greenspan's wife, Andrea Mitchell, over there at the NBC. NBC! Mrs. Greenspan has had, well, what do you call it? Yeah, I hope I'm not being too heretical. She done had her a Easter epiphany. No, really. She saw the light. Mm-hmm. She figured it right out. Mrs. Greenspan has announced all of a sudden, I mean, this is real road to Damascus stuff for NBC News and the for-profit media. Mrs. Greenspan, now that, I mean, you're just saying, now that the for-profit media in the world, has made a ton of money off of covering every last burp, belch, squeak, and fart of Donald T. Rump, and run out the old guard moneyed candidates who might serve as a viable opponent to a certain presumed to be inevitable presidential candidate. But now that they've made their money, suddenly Mrs. Greenspan has figured out that there's a problem with T-Rump. Praise be to God.
Obviously a bizarre week, Andrea, in so many ways. But I want to go, because what I think could have been the story of the week was this unbelievable editorial board interview that Donald Trump did with the Washington Post. Let me play a longer excerpt of it and get you to respond.
Do, Joke Toad, do.
If you could substantially reduce the risk of harm to ground troops, would you use a battlefield nuclear weapon to take out ISIS?
I don't want to start the process of nuclear. Remember, one thing that everybody has said, I'm a counterpuncher. Rubio hit me. Bush hit me. When I said low energy, he's a low energy individual. He hit me first. By the way, spent $18 million worth of negative ads on me. That's pitting. That's many.
No, but this was about ISIS. You would not.
By the way, could I do one thing?
Weapon against
this,
ISIS.
This is a very good-looking group of people. Could I just go around and so I know who the hell I'm talking to?
Correct.
By the way, just so folks know, and when he excerpted this, so then everybody around the room introduced themselves. Subject got changed.
Exactly. I mean, he cannot stick to a subject. It is remarkable. And when he doesn't know something, he just changes the subject, makes it all about himself.
National security, it's a very noticeable, especially to your ears and mine.
Absolutely. And this was a week where he could have gone after President Obama, arguably. Mm. There's a lot happening, and the president has some vulnerabilities. So does Hillary Clinton. But
what, Edith, huh?
This was a week when he could have gone after President Obama. President Obama had some vulnerabilities. Oh, doyen of the Beltway, what vulnerabilities? Now, please, I mean, I have my disagreements with Barack Obama. Plenty of them. But I'm going to make a presumption here. And I'm going to presume that she was talking about the fact that he didn't run screaming and squealing back to Air Force One there at, what is it, Jose Marti International Airport or whatever in Havana, and yell, "Ooh, ISIS, Bruga Bruga, ISIS, Bruga Bruga, gotta get home, gotta get home. Maybe I'll fly to Nebraska or Louisiana like George W. did. Maybe I'll try to stay. Oh, my God, what's going on? Dick Cheney, you're our only hope." But he didn't do that. He went on about the business of being president. But that's what Mrs. Greenspan's talking about. That, you know, Mrs. Greenspan, whose husband, you know, helped facilitate the economic meltdown of 08. That Mrs. Greenspan. He didn't do that. And not only did he not do that, well, you know, he had some vulnerabilities down there in Argentina. Because you know what? He tangoed. He did. God damn it. Barack Obama danced. Danced while Belgium wasn't being overrun by the ISIS. He danced. And never mind the fact that half of America follows some sort of fundamentalist bullshit religion that thinks that dancing will send you to hell. And it wasn't just he danced. That wife of his danced too. And you know what's even worster? They danced, but they didn't danced with each other like a traditional family values, God-fearing, one man, one woman, traditional family values marriage. There he was in Argentina, Barack Obama, a tangoing with some long, slickety-headed hussy. And that wife of his was over there a tangoing with some feller. And he was all slickety-headed, too. He's probably even Catholics. And he didn't come back to Washington to watch Brussels not be overrun by the ISIS hordes. That's some kind of not president we got there. No, really, that's what Mrs. Greenspan means when she says that Barack Obama had some vulnerabilities. I mean, it's not like Barack Obama stood there while a reporter said, "Are you going to get bin Laden?"
"Sure we are. Now watch this drive."
"Three!" No. But T-Rump didn't do that. Didn't go after those vulnerabilities. But at least Mrs. Greenspan has figured out that T-Rump has vulgar abilities. Yes.
Remarkable. And when he doesn't know something, he just changes the subject, makes it all about himself.
National security, it's a very noticeable, especially to your ears and mine.
Absolutely. And this was a week where he could have gone after...
Oh, well, yes, yes, joke toad. National security is especially noticeable to your ears and Mrs. Greenspan's. Because you truly understand national security. Because you're Joke Toad, and she's Mrs. Greenspan. And that's what they pay you the big-time for-profit media dollars for. Having ears susceptible to national security. Oh, my aching back. Yeah, okay, go on, you two, please.
After President Obama, arguably, there's a lot happening, and the president has some vulnerabilities, so does Hillary Clinton. But instead, he's all over the lot. And then the New York Times, David Sanger and Maggie Haberman, do an interview with him, a 90-minute interview, and it's in today's paper and online. And the transcript, if you read the transcript online, he would cancel defense treaties with Japan and South Korea against North Korea. He doesn't mind. He would be okay if Japan and South Korea go nuclear. American policy for decades since World War II has been trying to keep nukes out of that arena. He would stop importing oil from Saudi Arabia.
What? He would stop? He wouldn't stop Japan and South Korea from going nuclear? Why, we know those little, those inscrutable little devils can't be trusted with nuclear weapons. Only white people can be trusted with nuclear weapons. White people like Merca and the English and the French. White people and the Russians. No, the white Russians, but... them? Those? Oh! A little note coming in from our buddy Ron in Raleigh. Sweet Mary! You don't mean to tell me our president was down South America way dancing the forbidden dance. What is this country coming to? You would never see Rafael Eduardo Cruz dancing. What is the equivalent of vertical sex? I think it's vertical sex, Ron. I know. Okie dokie. Back to Mrs. Greenspan.
If they don't pay more for their defense, we need oil.
Yeah, wait a minute. Because this was the Saudi Arabia part.
It would be okay if Japan and South Korea go nuclear. American policy for decades since World War II has been trying to keep nukes out of that arena. He would stop importing oil from Saudi Arabia if they don't pay more for their defense. We need oil. We are not energy independent.
And why aren't we, Mrs. Greenspan? Why aren't we? I mean, we need oil. Mrs. Greenspan is not going to be chauffeured around in some goddamn Nissan Leaf, for fuck's sake. I mean, she's Mrs. Greenspan. Never mind the green part. She's Mrs. Oilspan. Mrs. Crudespan. We are not energy independent, and we never can be. Ever. Never, ever. She heard Hillary say that at a cocktail party once, and it seemed to go over well. Never, ever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, she, for a road to Damascus moment, I mean, this is 200 proof stuff. I mean, this is swirly straw in the tequila bottle for Mrs. Greenspan. He's saying that the Saudis should actually have to pay for us the propping up their miserable barbaric dictatorship. Not that I'm defending T-Rump. I don't want you to confuse. No. But Mrs. Greenspan just can't stand to hear anything unpleasant said about our dear friends, the Saudis, our partners in peace. You know, the good head loppers.
We rely on oil still.
Sure.
Daily needs. He is completely all over the lot on Iran. He complained that Iran isn't buying our planes. It had to be pointed out to him that Iran is still under sanctions and cannot buy American planes. He thinks North Korea and Iran are the biggest trading partners when North Korea's biggest trading partner is China. He is completely uneducated about any part of the world.
And Katie.
completely uneducated about any part of the world. And her own network has given millions, if not billions, of dollars of free advertising to this clown. I mean, this dick was on Mrs. Greenspan's network on The Apprentice for how many years? And what? She didn't know that he was a jumped up dumbass. I mean,
what are you people on dope?
I would take this seriously if she had just flown in from, you know, Norblap 9 and had gotten her first visual of Donald T. Rump. But great googly moogly. It's been months he's been... He's never not been this dumb. This isn't new. This isn't fresh. He didn't just get dropped on his head, Mrs. Greenspan. He was born that way.
It is clear. Look, you cover this campaign every day. There isn't a big team around him, is there? There is no. You don't see these foreign policy advisors, and I know now he's telling the Times, well, some of them are under contracts on television. As he told me first, he learns a lot of things from the shows, and I guess...
Well, he got to get a little plug in there for Joke Toad. I mean, the job security can't be that good. Look what happened to Disco Dave. What's his nuts? MC Rove. Yeah. Right. Wow. Isn't that sort of damning yourself by faint petard? Yeah, whatever he knows, he's learned on my program. Well, Chuck, he don't know shit. Yeah, but he watches the show.
He's going to hire a foreign policy team based on people that are appearing on various...
But you don't see them out with Donald Trump at all, and we're not seeing them very much on the TV circuit, as you mentioned. It's unclear how many conversations he's had with them. We've made phone calls to all of these people. Very few of them have gotten back to us and given us a fleshed-out idea of what is going on.
And how he learns.
And whether he's taking it all in. I dare say that the Washington Post audio excerpt will come back to haunt him in the general election, especially...
Oh, shut up. No, it's not. Because the people who plan on voting for T-Rump couldn't find Saudi Arabia up their ass with both hands. God almighty. Hiya, Earther. Earther pointing out from the chat room. He was born that way? You're saying Trump is a dumbassosexual, Bob? Yeah, I love it when my little one-liners get caught. Yeah, it makes me feel good. So we had a moment of Easter epiphany. We had a conversion. Mrs. Greenspan now understands that Donald Trump doesn't understand, which means, and see. This is one of those moments when you can kind of recognize the disingenuity. Is that even a freaking word? That is now. Of the for-profit media. Because there's no way that in a world of responsible journalism, but in a world of responsible journalism, the proper thing would be after that to say, but then there's Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, whose sum total of knowledge of international relations seems to be related to which brown people he wants to bomb to death. Or how quickly he can get a pure red heifer over to Jerusalem so the temple can be rebuilt and Jebus can get in his holy rolls and come on down. Anyway, back to Brussels and, you know, Raffaellito.
Clinton and this administration have been so bound up by political correctness, they've refused to acknowledge what it is we're fighting. They've refused even to name it. After every one of these attacks, the president does a national TV conference where he refuses to say the words radical Islamic terrorism. Instead, he lectures Americans on Islamophobia. Well, enough is enough. We need a commander-in-chief who will keep this country safe. You know, one of the consequences of the political correct...
You know, keep this country safe, like George W. Bush did. And the guy whose campaign he worked on back in 2000. Because we all know it's taken as a given inside Republican circles that dumb, dim leader kept us safe, you know, except for those three planes and World Trade Center and Pentagon. But he kept us safe.
...of this administration is they embrace policies that make no sense. Obama and Hillary Clinton both support bringing tens of thousands of Syrian Muslim refugees to America, despite the fact that ISIS tells us they intend to infiltrate those refugees with jihadists coming here to kill us. And despite the fact that the FBI tells us they cannot vet those refugees to make sure they're not terrorists. We need a commander-in-chief who is focused...
You know why the FBI says they can't vet them to make sure they're not terrorists? Because other people are vetting them. If you're a regular listener to this program, you know that we had this discussion. The refugees coming from Syria are having the B-jabbers vetted out of them. Up there in far thawing, I hope, Canada. How's that working out with your 25,000 Syrian refugees? I mean, are your poutine stands just blowing up like that? Well, you don't do the 4th of July, but is it safe to walk the streets of Toronto and Quebec City and Montreal and Vancouver and Calgary and Yellowknife? I mean, because I mean, like, you've got a whole bunch of Muslim refugees up there, and Raffaellito here says that they've all been salted with jihadis from the ISIS, or maybe they're, well, you know what, you're Canada, nobody gets mad at Canada, so they're just going to salt ISIS jihadis into the United States because freedom. They hate us for our freedoms, and for Christ's sakes, why don't you go to Disneyland or shopping or something? Well, if they're only sending jihadis to the United States, not Canada, doesn't that kind of make you wonder what it is that... No, that's that blame America first business.
On defeating radical Islamic terrorism, on utterly destroying ISIS, and on keeping America safe.
Okay, but how would that play out with patrols in Muslim neighborhoods? What are the practicalities of what that looks like?
Well, sure,
what that looks like in Cuba. That's what that looks like, as President Obama ably and capably noted. Mm-hmm. Looks like Cuba. It looks like the old Soviet Union. Yeah. Under the subject line, saying it makes it so, Steve in New York points out, Raffaellito just returned to his planet and is gone. Did that work? Oh, no, the magic doesn't, no. You know, if we could just get Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama to stop being so gosh darn gall dang politically correct, and if they'd just call these Muslims and talk about how we need to kill them and chop them into tiny pieces and eat them raw and have Muslim fondue, and all Raffaellito's gonna eat all that he does kill. Well, okay, I was just checking. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. From far Vancouver, British Columbia, Brother Deacon Asa says, the sky is literally falling out here, Bob. Meanwhile, in the thawing wastes of far Ottawa, Ron says, nary a problem. All 25,000 arrived by the end of February, and some of them are already bitching about the weather and saying things along the lines of, damn, that man Trump is a crazy dude. Treason! Because he is, well, no. back to you, Raffaelito.
Looks like is proactive law enforcement. What that looks like is addressing the problem and engaging the problem using every tool, law enforcement, using national security, using intelligence, using the military abroad to defeat the enemy. You know, there was a successful program in New York City that was started under Mayor Michael Bloomberg that did exactly this. It engaged cooperatively with the Muslim community, but it got involved to prevent radicalization, to prevent...
And didn't prevent a damned thing. See, that's the nice thing about showing up on Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda. You can say any old crazy crap that comes into your head. They won't challenge you. I mean, if you're, you know, a wingnut. See, this... Now, as you listen... This is the dangerous lunatic around which the Republican Party is rallying to try to stop the momentum of Donald Trump. You know what? I've given this a lot of thought, and maybe I'll get some hell for this. But as between... And we're talking only about the Republican nominee, okay? As between Raffaelito Eduardo Cruz, anointed booger-eating future king of America, and T-Rump with his tiny hands, I want their nominee to be T-Rump. Because if their nominee is T-Rump, there is at least a substantial likelihood that the Republican Party will shatter into a million tiny pieces. And all Rince Priebus's horses and all Rince Priebus's men will not be able to put Dumdy Dumdy back together again. It will be the final step in the devolution of the Republican Party into what it already is in everything but name, a regional party of disaffected, cranky, old, ignorant white people. That's it. It's the dominant party of the Confederacy. Sure. It's dominant in a majority of states, but only by virtue of Koch brothers' money and sincere efforts to suppress voter participation and favorably redistrict the several states. On the other hand, if the Republican machine is capable of stopping T-Rump and nominating Raffaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, he will be, by virtue of the money behind him, a formidable campaigner. He uses words that on like a sixth grade level and not a third to fourth grade level like Trump does. And he talks a lot about Jesus and religious liberty. Sit, liberty, sit. This guy is a theocrat. Cruz is. And by mouthing all those noises about the precious little fetuses and worrying about who's going pee-pee where in the name of Jesus, and whether or not a couple of bigots bake birthday cakes or send crummy pizzas to a wedding reception, he will successfully tap into a huge wellspring of ignorance, of misogyny, of hate, of racism. Oh, yes. And given the fact that Dr. First Lady Senator Secretary Clinton has an unfavorability number that is the highest of any candidate ever to run as the nominee of a major party in modern history, he might win. We're gonna drill down into this for a minute or two. Assume the worst, and assume that Trump wins the presidency. Well, he's not going to get very far, even with a Republican Congress, because so many of them will hate his guts. And the ones that do hate his guts, he will immediately have a confrontational relationship with. On the other hand, Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, anointed booger-eating future king of America, he's not beloved in the Congress by any stretch of the imagination, but he knows how to talk about the issues that the booger-eaten Congress itself wants. And you know what? This guy really does know who the next Scalia is. And he will nominate him. And he will be confirmed. And he will make Scalia look like a member of NOW. So, not that I spend any great deal of time rooting for anybody on that side of the aisle, but I'm also kind of rooting for Trump. Because I'm hoping Trump is beatable. Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz will also, if he becomes president, be the commander-in-chief. With that in mind, pay attention.
Radical Islamic terror cells from forming and prevent any acts of terror before they're carried out. Now, unfortunately, liberal Democratic Mayor Bill de Blasio, when he got elected, one of the first things he did, in a nod to political correctness, is he disbanded that unit. That doesn't make any...
You know, that wasn't a nod to political correctness. That was a nod to not doing stupid things, but never mind.
Sense. We need to be going after where the threat comes from, and the threat comes from radicalization. You know, you look at Europe. Much of the cause of these terror attacks is the failed immigration policies in Europe over the decades, where they've allowed vast numbers of Islamic terrorists to come into Europe. They live in isolated locations where law enforcement often doesn't engage at all.
I promise that's not me.
For radicalization, it leads to these sorts of attacks. We can't become Europe.
Wow.
Europe. We can't follow their same mistakes, and we need our law enforcement to engage and to.
Somebody was bored at Fox News on Easter Sunday.
Fight this enemy, which is Islamism. It's different from Islam. Islamism is a political and theocratic philosophy.
Oh, wait. The not a Muslim has created Islamism. Islamism. Which is different from Islam. Because, you know, Rafaelito doesn't want to just bomb the shit out of all the Islams. He wants to bomb the shit out of all the Islamisms. Are we clear on that?
That commands its adherents to engage in jihad, to murder or violently convert infidels, which they mean anybody else, all of us, and to force us to live under Sharia law. And we've got to fight Islamism at every level. This administration is not doing that, and that is why we're seeing the rise of radicalism.
Now, okay, I got to interrupt for a minute just to share a visual with you, and I realize that's like dancing about architecture, but still. So they cut to a split screen with Ralph Yolito blathering on about Islamism to show video footage of desperate ISIS fighters running up a hill and rolling over it. Remember when they did that with Al-Qaeda? Showing Osama bin Laden reviewing the troops. And then, wait.
Islamic terrorism all over the globe.
Oh, and then they showed us some footage of an ISIS breaking pine boards with his fists of fury. Well, you know, that's certainly going to reestablish the caliphate and bring on the 12th Imam. I mean, you know, definitely Fifth Don. Just no doubt about it. I mean, yeah. Get over here! Never mind.
Well, Senator, you know the president responded to your idea by invoking your father. Here's a bit of what he said.
I just left a country that engages in that kind of neighborhood surveillance, which, by the way, the father of Senator Cruz escaped for America, the land of the free.
Well, I mean, to be fair, Mr. President, no, he didn't. He escaped to Canada, the land of the polite. Yeah, but no, point taken.
Also this week, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton referenced your comments with respect to carpet bombing. Here's her take.
Proposing that doesn't make you sound tough. It makes you sound like you're in over your head.
Earlier this month, CNN...
True also.
...and had a poll asking who's best equipped to handle these issues of foreign policy. Former Secretary Clinton was atop the list. You came in fourth behind Trump and Sanders as well. So as a first-term senator, as the secretary suggested, are you in over your head on foreign policy?
Listen, I'll...
Notice how she tried to make sure that he didn't have to address the fact that President Obama was right about his creepy old daddy.
Tell you who's in over their head, and it's Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton and John Kerry and the entire Obama administration. The Obama-Clinton foreign policy is a manifest disaster. Every single region on Earth, Shannon, has gotten worse. Our friends and allies, we've abandoned them. This has been the most anti-Israel administration we've ever seen. And we've shown weakness and appeasement to our enemies. You know, it's rich seeing Barack Obama attacking me when he just got back from going to a baseball game with the Castros, celebrating and toasting a communist dictator who tortures and murders his citizens, who oppresses them, and who is rabidly anti-American, and who spreads terrorism throughout Latin America. As the president noted, yes, my father was imprisoned and tortured in Cuba.
Probably not.
So was my aunt. She was imprisoned and tortured by Castro's goons in Cuba. And yet what President Obama has done, what Hillary Clinton has done, what John Kerry has done, is sent billions of dollars to the enemies of America, billions of dollars to the Castros that they will use to increase their repression, increase spreading terrorism throughout Latin America, and over $100 billion to the Ayatollah Khomeini.
You knew the Iran bit was coming because, you know, Ayatollah Fidel Khomeini, I guess. I don't know. I've had about as much of this crap as I can stand. I don't know. Is there screaming and weeping? No. At least everybody hasn't left the chat room, so we're okay there. Meanwhile, Ron up in the thawing wastes says. Yeah, everyone else can blame Obama. I blame the House of Saud and their alliance support of the Wahhabi sect. Wahhabism has established madrasas throughout the Muslim world. And yes, it has. And all one need do is read history, and I realize that's a t- tall order for the likes of a Republican or a Rapiolito, Eduardo Cruz, etc. But, you know, T.E. Lawrence was acquainted with Wahhabism. And he said that Wahhabism arises in the Muslim world every so often, and that it always breaks itself on the shores of modernity. It breaks itself on the shores of modernity. And the only reason it hasn't broken in the case of its most recent incarnation is because of the alliance between the Saudi Royal Serene Noble Graciousness House, our friends, our partners in peace, the good headloppers, and the Wahhabists, because they are engaged in a synergistic and symbiotic relationship where each props the other up. The Wahhabis go around tormenting women for daring to walk out of the house without, three or four generations of guys around her. And on the other hand, the Saudi Royal Noble Majestic Graciousness House of Headloppin props up the Saudi middle class with, you know, oil. Well, I was hearing a siren out there. You can talk about the Iranians exporting terrorism throughout whatever, but the Wahhabis are the ones who are exporting the intolerant version of Islam. Now, I guess that would be Islamism. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's more than one siren. Something must be something bad happening out there. Oh, well. 17 minutes past the hour, and we've got lots and lots more stuff to talk about, including whatever you want to talk about. You know, this is not just me sitting here filibobstering, although I've filibobstered for an hour and 17 minutes now. You can bring stuff to the table, too. You know the numbers, I trust. Area code 304-574-8178. Or 304-663-4676. Oh, must be a fire. I heard a fire truck. 304-663-HORN. That's the stress line, named in honor of our dear friend, gone but not forgotten, Bill, Mr. Stress Miller. And from anywhere on the planet that isn't all firewalled off, you can reach the program via Skype. Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn. Bob Kincaid Horn is how you reach me there. On Twitter, at Bob Kincaid. Facebook, Bob Kincaid. We've got a closed Facebook group that you have to ask to be given entrance to. And that is theheadonradionetwork.com. And you're welcome there. Just include a note saying, I'm a member of the Horn Family Community Congregation, whatever. You'll be right in. Yeah, very funny, Carol. Bob, your ride's here. I guess y'all heard the siren, too. So that's all available. Email bobkincaid@gmail.com, BobKincaid. Just for those who didn't know, there's only one K. Really, one K. And I did mention that every evening we try to raise a minimum of $200. And here at 19 minutes past the hour, we are at zero. So it would be nice if we got the fundraising started. Don't everybody run over to headonradionetwork.com/contribute at once. No, really, actually, everybody run over to headonradionetwork.com/contribute at once. That'll be fine. This is listener-supported conversation radio. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Everybody's restless, and they got no place to go. Someone's always trying to tell them something they already got his problems too. He will surely take them out on you. In walks the village idiot, and his face is all aglow. He's been up all night listening to Mohammed's radio. No, he'll make you want to rock and roll all night long. Mohammed's radio. I heard somebody singing sweet and soulful on the radio. Mohammed's radio. Desperate, trying to make ends meet. Work all day, still can't pay the price of gasoline and meat. Alas, their lives are incomplete. Don't it make you want to rock and roll all night long? Mohammed's radio. You've been up all night listening for his trumpet.
Up all night.
Hoping that the righteous might just come.
Just be right.
I heard the general whispering to his aide-de-camp. Be watchful.
Is there ever a time that's not a good time for Warren Zevon, the late, great Warren Zevon? No, I don't think so. This is the Horn for Moran Monday, the 28th of March, 2016, 23 minutes past the hour. Oh, let's see, a couple of different directions we can go in. But it's Moran Monday, so we want to make sure that we keep the focus on the Morans. Wouldn't you agree? Yes. So, off in Nebraska, far Nebraska, everything's far from Appalachia, they've been debating on whether or not the LGBTs have, rights. Mm-hmm. And just when you think that maybe North Carolina and Georgia have cornered the market on Moran, well, no, among other things, and I immediately thought of the marvelously coherent Diane in Kansas Stan earlier this morning, when I saw the news that Governor Nathan Deal in Georgistan had vetoed their hate bill that all the good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual Christians so desperately wanted to make sure that no preacher would ever be legally compelled to officiate one of them homosexual weddings. Right. Because that would so pass constitutional muster. I mean, oh, yeah, absolutely. Put him in chains if he doesn't trip. Carry him away. You're right. So it turned out that, as we've mentioned, discussed on the program,
Everybody from Coca-Cola to the NFL to Hollywood and all kinds of other great big corporations in between have mentioned to Governor Nathan Deal there in Georgetown that if and he was to sign that there bill, they would take that there money and not spend none of it in Georgia. Georgia. Oh, that's it. No more singing. No, and so while Governor Deal put a brave face on it, saying, "This is not who we are as Georgia." Actually, it is, Governor. What he was really saying is, I campaigned on the fact that I was gonna bring business to Georgia, and I done brought. We got some business here. Hell, Coca-Cola's been here since God was a baby, and they're pissed off. So I'm going to veto this here bill. Which he done did. And I guess we'll call that a victory. I think we still got a ways to go, though, because the fact that the bill was introduced and was passed by both houses of the Georgia legislature says there's quite a bit of nastiness and homophobia and Christian bigotry and right. And the ACLU has already announced its suit in North Carolina stand over their potty bill. Boy, it's just ridiculous that a man in a dress would go to the ladies' room. The best part of that, however, is that, as mentioned, last week, the North Carolina legislature convened a $42,000 special session to overturn a bill passed by North Carolina's largest city that provided legal protection for the LGBTQQQ community. And one would be tempted to say, well, you know, it's North Carolina stand. They got a bunch of birthers, deathers, tenthers, baggers, ninthers, booger eaters there, libertarians and Republicans. Of course they passed a bigotry law. All of which would be true. However, this is a Ginsu commercial. But wait, there's more. Because see, it wasn't just all Republicans who voted for that nasty bit of prejudice in North Carolina. No, it wasn't. 11 members of the Democratic Party voted for the North Carolina bigotry bill. Well, of those 11 Democrats who voted for the bigotry bill, Representatives Charles Graham, George Graham, Howard Hunter, William Richardson, and Garland Pierce all voted for the bigotry bill. They're all Democrats, those five. Remember, I said there were 11 Democrats. These five, however, are proud endorsers of the presidential campaign of Dr. First Lady Senator Secretary Clinton. I guess it's not just Dr. First Lady Senator Secretary Clinton who has to evolve, but so too do her supporters. maybe they didn't get the memo. I mean, you can't blame Dr. First Lady Senator Secretary Clinton for what these five ass clowns did. But it remains a fact that she has made it very clear from the top down that while she had to do a whole lot of evolving to get there, she is now generally supportive, she says, of the LGBTQ community. I got a feeling by the end of this presidential campaign, her evolve button's going to be in a million, billion, teeny, tiny little molecule-sized pieces. Mm-hmm. Now, is there anything she could do? North Carolina's primary is over. Voter-suppressed nightmare that it was. Dr. First Lady Senator Secretary Clinton could, if someone would bother to tell her about this, she could disavow those five endorsements. She really, really could. Should she? Will she? Well, I think she should. I don't think she will. So there's that. But anyway, back out to the broad, flat expanses. Well, wait, before we get out to the broad, flat expanses, a note just arrived from Diane, the marvelously coherent Diane in Kansas stand. Subject line, countervailing pressure from business. Georgia deserves it. This is one of those examples I watch for where the religious right and business pulls apart. I like it when that coalition does not hold. John Kenneth Galbraith coined the term countervailing power, but I'm not sure he foresaw this. And let's do please remember that this is not the first example of this. It is, to my mind, at least where the Deep South is concerned, the second. Because it wasn't even a year ago that when South Carolina stand Governor Nimrata Haley's line started ringing and her secretary would pick up the phone, "Governor's office, may I help?" The voice on the other line would say, "Yes, this is Hans from BMW. I would like to speak to the governor." Yes, Mr. Hans, just a minute. Governor, it's Mr. Hans from BMW. And she would pick up the phone and take the call. And if you do not believe you need to have this Confederate flag flying over your state capital, it is making doing business in your state very, shall we say, uncomfortable. Why yes, we'll get right on it, Hans, absolutely. And then Boeing called, Volvo called, and the next thing you know, the devil's diaper was just coming right down off that old flagpole. Mm-hmm. So, right. Tim, I read them out, but I'll read them again. Tim wants to know, who are the endorsers? I'm going to ask Hillary. Okay. The five Democrats in North Carolina who endorsed Hillary Clinton and voted for the anti-trans bill. This is via North Carolina NBC affiliate WECT. They are Representatives Charles Graham, George Graham, G-R-A-H-A-M, Howard Hunter, William Richardson, and Garland, G-A-R-L-A-N-D, Pierce, P-I-E-R-C-E. Charles Graham, George Graham, Howard Hunter, William Richardson, and Garland Pierce. All Democrats, all endorsers of the campaign for president of Dr. First Lady Senator Secretary Clinton. Now we can go out to the vast flat lands of Nebraska, where the wind billows through the corn and picks up the intoxicating aroma of confined animal feed operations and blows those aromas. Well, fortunately, there are a lot more cows and pigs in Nebraska than there are people. But you get the idea. So our boy here is Nebraska, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Republican, Senator Bill Kintner. And he doesn't think the LGBTs have any of them constitutional rights. But he does think other people do. Because, of course, Nebraska's legislature is also debating a religious liberty bill based upon the federal RFRA, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. Where did we get that? Where did the Religious Freedom Restoration Act come from? Hey, thanks again, Bill Clinton. There's another one of your good deeds. Okay. Well, I tell you what, them 8 years was just chock-a-block with awesome laws. Anyway. So let's check in with Nebraska State Senator Bill Kintner, who went on the public airwaves of News Talk 1290 with host Matt Tompkins, who actually didn't play doormat to Kintner, which is kind of impressive. Ooh, great music. Oh, good bumper for this guy.
State Senator Bill Kintner will be joining us here in just mere seconds. The fight for and the fight against LGBT rights is happening across the country. You can follow me at Omaha Radio Matt on Twitter, Facebook Matt Tompkins. And joining us right now on the phone, State Senator Bill Kintner. Thanks so much for taking time to join us today, Senator. I know you guys have a busy day on the
floor. Hey, you're welcome.
We have had proponents for this on the show earlier today, and I wanted to make sure that we had both sides of this discussion represented. You voted against this yesterday. You were in the majority.
Okay, before we go any further, let's just note one little thing. Does anybody here think for one freaking second that there's anything resembling a progressive radio station out in, Nebraska? Because there's not. Unless I hear from a member of the Horn Family Community congregation who says otherwise. I mean, they might have, like, some Nebraska public radio, plays a lot of classical music to soothe the cattle and shit, but this is News Talk 1290. This is for-profit radio.
26-18 voted this anti-discrimination bill down. But my first question is, I think people did, the basic question is, why not pass this? I mean, who, if this was passed, who does it hurt and how would it hurt them?
Well, the quick question is, it's not needed. I think we've kind of settled in society. We kind of have a live and let attitude here in Nebraska. I suspect that's true for most of the country. And they just couldn't bring any examples of people being discriminated against. On the flip side, we do know from other states, once you pass this legislation, it opens up lawsuits against small businesses, and it's used to attack Christians and people of conscience.
It's used to attack Christians. You know, because transgendered people are just walking around with open carrying semi-automatic assault rifles, and just attacking Christians, and they got the occasional post, and they cram it up a Christian's butt, and then they'll roll them in lard and light them on fire, you know, just like Nero used to do, and he wore a dress too. See?
Remember, everyone has a First Amendment right, and the First Amendment right is a right of conscience, a right to dissent, a right to have your own views, especially when they're religious-based.
Actually, Senator Dumbass, you have a right not to have the government suppress that freedom of speech, freedom of assembly. Never mind.
I'd like to ask you, you said the lawsuits would increase. We had the proponent on this morning with the Omaha ordinance, and they said the lawsuits haven't increased. Is that not accurate, or...?
Well, there's two things at play. One, that proves my very first point, and it's not a problem. Second, when I talk to small businesses...
My head's beginning to hurt. It's not a problem, therefore there won't be more lawsuits, but if we pass this law, there'll be more lawsuits because it's a problem. Aristotle is having a baby right now.
Senator Stenner, who was a banker for many years, says if you have another protected class, you will have problems. Let me give you an example.
Yeah, he was a banker, and you know what? If you have another protected class, that's another class of people we got to be willing to loan money to. I mean, damn.
Have an employee. The way this bill's written, it was written not only for people who say they're gay, but also for people who feel they're transgender. So you wake up in the morning and you feel, I don't feel like putting on a suit today. I feel like a woman. Now,
because that's how transgender works. I don't think so. Just wake up one morning and say, I'm going to dress like a woman. Maybe that's how it is with Senator Kintner. Maybe other mornings he wakes up and says, I'm going to dress like a zombie. And then other morning he wakes up and says, I'm going to dress like a Wookiee. Come on, honey, you put your Wookiee suit on too. We'll have Wookiee sexy time. Ferg does that much better than me.
Oh, you've got protection. When you're wearing a suit, no protection. Now you're wearing a dress, and you're a man, you get protection. So if you got an employee that's, say, habitually late, he's just not a very good employee, and you sit him down and you say, Joe, you're late too often, you don't get your work done on time, you're not doing the job right, you got to straighten up, or we're going to replace you.
I know what the problem is. This guy went to the bathroom this morning and lost all his brains. Never mind.
It says, I feel like a woman today. Now you've got a whole problem with trying to get rid of him.
I would agree with you if that ever...
I told you it was a right-wing station.
Is that you look at this, the reason that I think the LGBT community believes in this as a civil right is because, like being black or being a woman or being old, you don't choose to be transgender. You don't choose to be gay. So you're saying that this, part of the reason you voted this is because you believe that they are making a choice, and then they are using that choice to, in the end, file a frivolous lawsuit. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. And let's think about Bruce Jenner. Because he wears a dress, does that make him a woman?
Of course it doesn't. Because he's an expert, Bill Kintner. Of course it doesn't. And you know what? I guess he's right to a certain extent. Just putting on a dress doesn't make one a woman. Just like putting on trousers doesn't make one a man, as millions of women across America prove, and a lot of the world prove every blessed day. But then again, those are outward manifestations, the dress, whatever. They're outward manifestations of an interior reality. And I realize everything that I've just said is entirely too complicated for somebody like Senator Bill Kintner. But do, let's continue.
Well, I'll say this. It's none of my business who someone has a relationship with, and sure as heck not the state's business who someone has a relationship with. So I have no way of knowing if you're gay. You have to announce it to me.
It's not the state's business who somebody's having a relationship with, unless that someone is a woman with a fetus who wants to have a relationship, you know, a business relationship, a medical relationship with a doctor who wants to remove the fetus from her so she won't be pregnant anymore. That, he thinks, the government has business. That's the government's business.
Before I would know. Well, that's the problem with these laws. These laws are shifting sand. You never really know who it covers and who it doesn't, especially if it's based just upon how someone feels. Now, let me give you some other problems we have.
How someone feels, because, you know, that's what being transgendered is. It's just how you feel. When you hear a person proudly manifesting a level of ignorance that is this profound, you get a sense for just how much work there is to do out there. But he's got another example. It's probably going to be even better than the guy who puts on a dress to keep from being fired for being late all the time when he wears pants.
This cuts both ways. If you have a gym that wants to cater to gays, or you have a softball league and they just want to cater to gays, they can't do that with this law. They can't do that. They can't discriminate against straight people. It cuts both ways. Now, let's look on the flip side of that. If you are a church or a church school, you're covered by the First Amendment, no problem. But let's say you are a Christian bookstore, and part of your beliefs is we only hire Christians. Now you've got someone saying they're gay. Well, that doesn't fit with our Christian belief, and we're going to let you go. But
No, dumbass, because being Christian is a religion. Being gay isn't. There are, in fact, and, you know, I'm no Christian. I don't want to be counted in that number. But there are lots of millions of gay people who are Christians. Okay? There are gay people who go to church every Sunday and are welcomed in their churches. There are churches in their thousands, tens of thousands across the United States that believe everything that every other Christian church does. You know, Mary was a virgin who had sex with an invisible being, but still remained a virgin, but somehow got pregnant and had a God baby, and the God baby grew up and preached and got crucified and killed and got buried or stuck in a hole or something, and rose from the dead and will come again someday. All that stuff that you have to believe a Christian. Gay Christians believe it. Straight Christians believe it. What have you. Trans Christians believe it. Trans men, trans women. because trans and gay and lesbian and bi aren't religions. But see, this dumbass was put in office by people who agree with him. By people who are probably actually more bigoted than him.
Well, that's a business, though, is a bit different than a church.
I mean, a church is
a nonprofit organization practicing their religion. That's their sole purpose, is to practice their religious faith. A business is there to make a profit. They may be a Christian bookstore, but they're still generating a profit.
You know what? I want to tell you, the First Amendment, freedom of religion just doesn't go when you're in the church. You have the same freedom to run your business in a Christian way. So when they're trying to say you only get your religious freedom when it's associated with a church, that's not what the First Amendment...
But you don't have the...
Well, actually, it kind of is what the First Amendment says. Because there's nothing in the First Amendment about running no business.
First Amendment doesn't grant you the right to discriminate against other people and violate their civil rights that the Constitution also protects.
Yes, it does.
That couldn't get to the mute in time. In Shreveport, Jack writes, blah, 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 asparagus. Exactly. But Mo, we have a bone of contention here.
It does. Oh, yes, it does.
There are people affected that are being discriminated against. It may not be signs on the front of the restaurant or signs at City Hall, but it is happening. So, I mean, I don't understand why
if you have a restaurant and they're not overtly discriminating, but, you know, they're kind of making it known that, you know, we really don't like men sitting around in dresses. You know, that stuff takes care of itself. Word will get out that this place doesn't serve everyone. It doesn't give everyone equal treatment. If you're a man wearing a dress, it takes you an hour to get waited on. Everyone else, 20 minutes. That's called bad service.
But that argument...
Oh, my God. Okay, I got it now. This guy's a libertarian. This guy's right out of the Rand Paul and that thing on his head mold. You remember when Rand Paul said that he would have opposed the Civil Rights Act because I'm a libertarian, and discrimination would have sorted itself out, and people would have known where they could go to, and other businesses, and freedom, sit, liberty, sit.
Argument, that was the same argument people used in the Civil Rights era. You're saying it's okay that, like, if a black person, if it takes an hour for them to get service, that's just bad service, so a black person won't go to that restaurant.
That's bad service, yeah, that's called bad service. I mean, geez, I sit down.
Well, then, but by that argument, you're saying that type, because that's a form of racism as well. That's a form of discrimination. So you're saying that discrimination on small levels is okay.
Well, I would say if you can prove, now, first of all, racial discrimination is illegal. So I guess if you can prove that you sat there for an hour and that person over there was a different race and they were out in 15 minutes and you can prove it's because of race, good luck. Yeah, sure, that's against the law. But, you know, they're...
Oh, so even things that are already matters of law are a matter of good luck. You got to kind of wonder which university this guy's a proud son of.
There isn't a law solution for every little transgression that we see. The free market takes care of a lot of this, but when there's widespread discrimination, then the government steps in and says, no, there's a social contract between people here in this town to discriminate against all these people, and we can't allow that.
You brought up a great point. I think that really is all gay people are asking for. All they're asking for is that they need a way, just a small addition to that same protection, because they don't choose to be gay. They don't choose to be transgender. And as hard as that may be for other people who are straight to understand or comprehend.
To wit you, Senator Kintner.
They're saying all we want is the ability to be protected, because right now they're not. They're not protected like African-Americans or women or the elderly, senior citizens. And, I mean, that's what they're asking me. Is that too much to ask at this point in 2016 with...
Yeah, I think it is with the shifting stance. First of all, the transgender is only a few years old. I mean, it's just a few years old. I mean, it's systematic widespread discrimination.
What? The transgender is just a few years old? So what? We've got a bunch of 7-year-old trans people. They're creating the hubbub in Nebraska. This man lives in an intellectual midnight. He lives in Nebraska. And there were once cultures that were sort of friendly to those in their societies who were trans. Yeah. He has no idea of the rich panoply of the human experience. And, you know, while we're at it, I guess he's okay with, you know, women in pants. But less than 100 years ago, and maybe there are examples in Omaha or Lincoln's own history, less than 100 years ago, a woman in a pair of pants would have caused scandal. She might have even been arrested. Jules, with a comment, says, "Oh my God, are these people serious? I dated a transgender woman who is not out because of society. This is not a choice." Of course it's not. Just as Bill Kintner was born that way, I mean, you know, dumber than the head and the hog is in the ass. So too were trans people born that way. I mean, this is, well, we've just got a little bit of the stupid left. Let's just check, and then we'll go to the phones.
Based upon 0.02% of the population, are you really?
Well, it's a few years old as far as it being in the public spotlight and having, you know, more support for it, like with Caitlyn Jenner and those who have come out publicly. But it's existed for all of human history. I mean, there's been homosexuality and cross-dressing and transgender in the entire existence of mankind. It's just now it's a lot more known and the people come out. So, I mean,
yeah, I guess we won't ask Senator Kintner to take the classics exam and do an essay on the time that Claudius Pulcair infiltrated the sacred women-only rite of Bona Dea in Republican Rome in the 1st century BCE. We also won't ask Senator Bill Kintner to expound upon his understanding of the Sicarii in blessed ancient Palestine, where guys got up as women, would get as close as they could to, say, a Roman soldier, and then shiv him real good, you know, right in the kidneys, just with a knife. Yeah, we won't, no, absolutely not. And we won't ask Senator Kintner about who played the first Juliet. Well, I mean, that's acting.
You kind of segue into another question I wanted to ask you, because sure. The majority of Americans have shifted in recent years pretty quickly, like you mentioned, their support for gay rights, of gay marriage as a good example with the Supreme Court ruling and it making it there. So the majority of the country is swaying in favor of this. And you look at millennials, 35 and under, I mean, it's like 80-90% support for gay rights, LGBT rights. Are we going backwards? It feels like, I mean, why are, if the majority of the public is in support of this, why are we not passing laws that they want in place?
Well, the free market.
Well, the free market. Oh, well, okay.
The market will take care of that here also, because if the legislature is out of step, If there's a majority of Nebraskans that truly wants that, I don't think there is. But if there was, they would replace it. If it was important to them, they'd replace the senators. and put in a pro-gay rights senator. That, you know, the market will take care of itself. If that's really a majority opinion in our state, that will take care of itself.
Senator, that's not the free market. The free market's economics. You're talking about elections. That's politics. Fuckwit. Man. We got to get free of this. My brain cells are dying left and right, and they're screaming inside my head while they do it. Let's go talk to Jules instead. Hey, Jules.
Hey there. Yeah, my brain cells have already fried. I mean, my neck, I think my head spun off my neck while I was listening to this shit. To be quite honest with you, holy hell. These people, they don't realize that sexuality is not like this black and white thing, and I don't quite understand.
Well, but it is to them, Jules, because and it's black, actually, because it only happens with the lights out.
Well, yeah, that's sex. That's not sexuality.
Same.
And I was talking with some folks about this one night here not too long ago, that it's not like stair steps. You know, you have gay, lesbian, bisexual, heterosexual. It's fluid. You know, it's more like waves in an ocean. And because people who are open and accepting of LGBTQ still have problems putting transgenders and transgender people and pansexual people and people kind of out on the outskirts into this whole scheme of sexuality, and it can be difficult, but it's not impossible to kind of get everyone into the whole scheme of things. But It baffles me that people can't be more accepting of folks. It really does. And to think that transgender folks are wanting to be like this, are choosing to want to go to bathrooms that aren't their own because they want to get their the rocks off. Is that what they're saying?
It's best as I can figure out. I mean, they're not exactly known, Jules, for their intellectual rigor.
But this is the expression that they're using, right? You know, and in Indiana, we have this bill trying to be put through now. One of the legislators trying to put a bill through for the high schools where the transgender youth have to go to the correct locker rooms and to the correct bathrooms, and if they aren't going to the correct places, then the school's going to be fined. And so, and the more incidents that are caused, the higher the fines are going to be, and the individual teachers and stuff are supposed to be fined. And I don't know exactly how that's supposed to happen, because I think that's against the way their contracts and stuff are supposed to go. But it's insane what they're coming down to. The fact that there, you know, I've lived with someone that has gone through this, and the only time that they were able to actually, a transgender woman, and the only time she was able to be herself was in the privacy of our home. And it just absolutely baffles me, after seeing this and after being around, being involved with the transgender community as a result of this, it breaks my heart to hear these folks talk like this and to be so callous and rude.
But it's in their DNA, the callous and the rude. I mean, I think sometimes maybe we get into a thing where we overanalyze a little bit, Jules. I'm not saying you are.
but these Christians, these bigots, they don't care who they hurt, because their goal is to enshrine their bigoted version of their nasty theology in law. They're not happy with religious freedom. They're not happy with the First Amendment right to believe as one chooses. They want us all to believe like they do too. Barring that, they would like to stone us to death. And I'm not talking about us as in a particular segment, you know, just anybody who doesn't ascribe to their weird, sick, twisted, bizarre, theocratic worldview.
Oh, I would have been in stone by now, 100 times over, so...
Right, but I mean that's what's behind all of this. I mean, there's a Carol Baker provided an object lesson in all of this potty business last night. There is in regard to the North Carolina bill, as is the case with many other bills, the North Carolina bill requires that people use the restroom of the gender that was assigned to them on their birth certificate.
That's the way the Indiana bill was being formed around, yes.
And when they talk about it, and it's usually pasty-faced, doughy white, old white guys, or similarly situated women, they talk about how they're worried about how their precious little lumpkins will be in the little girl's room, and there'll be a man in a dress come in, right?
Oh yeah.
Well, it ain't exactly. it ain't just male to female trans people out there. There are female to male trans people.
Yes.
And I didn't know it, but I've since done a little reading and I've learned about it. Apparently, in the female to male trans community, there's a subset of people who are really into bodybuilding.
Yes, there are.
And we're talking about female to male transsexuals who could, I mean, they got muscles that got muscles. And in the particular example that Carol cited last night, there is a female-to-male transsexual bodybuilder by the name of Sean. And he, it's a man in a dress. Well, this is a man in gym gear with biceps bigger than my thighs. And in North Carolina, he has to go to the ladies' room.
Yes.
And not only is this guy just absolutely muscled up, I mean, the guns, the washboard abs, all of it, total package. He's also, I have to look at it, black. So, he's got a very close-cropped haircut. I'm not sure. Maybe a little goatee going on.
Yes, I was going to say, and has with the hormone therapy.
And he has to go to the ladies' room, where all the good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual white women are.
Yes.
And aren't they just gonna scream? And as Carol pointed out, you just walk in with a copy of the statute and you say, "Law's the law, bitches."
Yes, I was going to point that out, is that it's not just the female to male, it's the male to female also, and I don't think that these paranoid assholes realize what they're really getting into.
Well, they never do. They have all the insight of a dung beetle.
Yeah, exactly.
But
the, you know, the frustration from people who are there, or who have you know, worked intimately with these communities, it's beyond frustration. It's anger. You just want to rip their heads off and piss down their throats, you know.
But you know what? There's an aspect to this, Jules, that probably needs a little bit of examination. As I noted, whenever one of these upstanding Bible believing Christ centered Christians, evangelicals, goes to talking about where the trans people go the potty. And how they need to go the potty where Jesus wants them to go. Well, it's always a question of, again, precious lumpkin being confronted by a man in a dress. And I think we do ourselves a goodness, a kindness, if we ask ourselves, why is it that they are always obsessed with a man in a dress? You want to take a run at it?
Well, personally, I think that there are more men out there that have obsessions with being in dresses than they want to admit. But no, that's my own sarcasm. No, go ahead, please.
It is an issue of privilege. Yeah. Men are scared of men in dresses because a man who chooses to present and exist as a woman represents a wholesale rejection of male privilege.
That's true. And I never thought of it that way.
And if you start having men rejecting male privilege, then maybe male privilege stops counting for so much.
That's a very, very novel idea, and I've never thought of it that way.
It is threatening to traditional male power structures that a man would be willing to give up that level of privilege in order to manage. And you know, there's a raft of stuff that comes with this. That has to do with, I mean, even inside transgenderism, you know, gender norms, gender roles, that you know, trans people have to deal with. I mean, the you know, assumptions. It's when a right winger, it's always a man in a dress. It's not. A man in a tasteful Chanel suit, okay? It's the fact that God damn it, we have rules for men, and men have to abide by those rules. I mean, because there's a counterbalance, and this is all ever so complicated, men get the privilege and the power. Women get a certain broader latitude in choice. And for instance, this goes back to one of the pageants when, you know, of course, Bernie shows up on stage in a boring, gray, rumpled two-piece suit with a white shirt and a really boring tie, and his hair's out of place. And Hillary walks on stage wearing something the color of a fucking Chiquita banana.
Oh, dear. Yes, her Goldman. Her Goldman Sachs uniform.
Well, I had a hard time getting people to understand what my point was when I mentioned it. That's an is an aspect of a certain amount of privilege. Because if Bernie Sanders had walked on stage wearing a suit the color of a Chiquita fucking banana, his political career would have been over. And so when I guess traditional right-wing, white-wing men who are inherently threatened by the rise in women's access to some degree of power within what they deem to be their world comes along. You know, I'm sure the Senator Kintner there is scared to death that one of these days he's going to have to put on a pair of pantyhose just to go and legislate.
Yeah, well, God forbid. I mean, you have to conform to social norms like everyone else does.
And you know, those and it all scares them to death because those standards are sliding. I mean, there are look at runners' tights, okay? Those things are every bit as form-fitting and body-hugging as any pair of dancers' tights. And then there's dancers. But, you know, the male power structure was always able to look at a male ballet dancer, and that's going to be queer. When, in fact, as often as not, the guy was not gay. And, well, never mind. That's a little bit over the top. But you get my point, I trust.
Oh, yes, most definitely.
They're not worried, Jules, about their precious little lumpkin in there being confronted by some linebacker in an A-line skirt. They're afraid. They're worried about themselves, and so it goes. So something you said earlier is probably very much true. There are a lot more men out there who would like to experiment along those lines, you know, and witness the fact, you know, high schools all over the country, you know, nothing is funnier. I mean, Tom Hanks started his career in a dress because that's funny.
Mm-hmm.
But it also represents a place that men are forbidden to go. Because while it does not call a woman's sexuality into question for her to wear clothing that is traditionally that of a man, if a man does it, the whole goddamn patriarchal structure may come down around their ears.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty comfortable with that analysis.
Yeah. No, I agree, because it does, and you know we look at this, and what's sad is that we put so much credence into what is on the what the material is on the outside, and you know we go through the comparison of Bernie's crinkled suit and Hillary's bright yellow Goldman Sachs.
I'm now told by Brother Deacon Asa that people in the know refer to that as her Steve Harvey uniform.
Oh, okay. Well, I call it her Goldman Sachs outfit because that's where it became popularized, is her meeting with the Goldman Sachs dude. But
really?
Yeah.
I had no idea. Well, it has been a lovely conversation, Jules. I do appreciate it.
But yeah, I had to spew my anger out about that because.
Well, I hope I didn't filibobster all over your anger.
No, by no means. I really wanted to spew a little bit there because people who just have no inkling of what it's like for people who are transgender and what they go through. Should have to walk week in a trans person's shoes and see what it's like. I think they'd have a new appreciation for life.
Well, yeah. somebody like this asshat in Nebraska, you'd have to handcuff him into a chair, even to get him to sit down and watch the birdcage.
Yeah.
No, let alone the original La Caja Fall.
This is probably mostly true.
Jules, have a lovely evening.
You too.
Let's talk soon. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Jules calling from Talibandiana. And yes, Arthur pointing out it's shocking for a man to wear a skirt, but not for a woman to wear pants. Although it was a big deal for women to do so at the start of the 1900s. Hey, you know who invented pants? Them Iranians. Yeah, Romans was running around in skirts and little short tunics and shit. And damned if them Iranians didn't invent pants. Yep. Oh my goodness. Carol, come on out on the ledge.
Why, hi, I am out on the ledge tonight.
I kind of sensed something.
Why, yes.
And by the way, we're not echoing.
Oh, good. Good. I just turned the volume down to make sure that it wouldn't. Yes, I've officially gone Bernie or bust.
What happened?
Well, you know what? I tried being the, I just want to vote my conscience through the primary process because I think that's like the most American and Democratic thing there was. And I have been mocked. I have been made fun of. I have been told that, you know, Secretary Clinton doesn't need to debate Bernie. It's over. Why do you keep selling when the deal is closed? And I'm sitting there going, deal's closed? What are you talking about?
Yeah, can we just establish a real quick fact? I mean, just real quick.
Yeah.
25 of the 50 states
mm-hmm.
have not yet voted.
Yep. I noticed that.
In those 25 of the 50 states reside 45% of all the Democratic votes.
Yeah.
It chaps my ass a little bit, Carol.
Yeah.
To be told, I saw another post over on Ed Rabel's page, and post from the New York Times, of course. Bernie's still in it, but it's nearly over. I mean, can somebody give me a cogent answer why it is? And I just had a long conversation with Jules about the nature of privilege.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that Hillary Clinton was privileged to stay in the Democratic race for the presidency until June the 7th, 2008, when it was over for her a long goddamn time before that?
Because she said that absolutely every last person should get to vote their conscience through the primary process. And she felt that...
But Bernie doesn't get that?
No, because, you know, it looks like she's winning.
Because Commie Jew?
Because Commie Jew. Not a real Democrat.
Not raising money for the precious down ballot races like those five guys in North Carolina.
Yes, I've heard that too. Well, here's the deal, is that somebody from her campaign said she was refusing to participate in any more debates with Senator Sanders until he tones it down. He has to change his tone toward her.
Would it be okay if he talked like this? Would that be a different enough tone?
I thought he should just lay down on his back and, you know, show her his belly in submission. Of course, that isn't really a debate. That's a 30, you know, that's an infomercial, but...
Even when you're pissed off, you can't resist being funny, can you?
No, I can't. Because by daring to mention it, I was told, oh, you Bernie people, every time you don't get your way with something, you nail yourselves up on a cross. And I thought, yeah, all right. Well, you know something? I've been warning you people all along. Come November, you're going to need us. And I have said all along that if she gets the nomination, I will vote for her. But you know something? I have sat back and I have looked at all of her policies. I have looked at her stance on the death penalty. I have looked at the fact that she will not release those transcripts of her love letters to Goldman Sachs. And if she calls that transparency, I'm sorry, it isn't. I have defended her 60 ways from Sunday. None of it's good enough. None of it's good enough.
No. You have to worship.
Must worship. Because I'm the reason we can't have nice things. Because I won't go along to get along. And you know what?
And because you won't abandon your candidate before the primary is over.
No, I won't abandon my morals and my principles and my deeply held ethics. Because, you know, and honestly, have you read Matt Taibbi's piece in Rolling Stone?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
And I also read a hilarious response to it that was that was about the most snide, self-gratifying piece of self-congratulatory bullshit I've seen in ages.
Yeah, I got through about the first...
Oh, you read that thing?
Yeah, I read it.
What did it come from? What was it, a website called Hillary Men?
Something like that, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So now... I announced on Facebook that I've gone Bernie or bust. The Shillarians Shrillarians, are having a total meltdown because I'm personally handing the White House over to Donald Trump. I didn't know I wielded so much power, but you know what?
Well, I mean, I spend a lot of time thinking about this stuff, Carol. You know that.
Yeah.
And so today I was asking myself, what would happen if you took the delegate count and you subtracted South Carolina, North Carolina, Mississippi, Alabama, Arkansas, and Tennessee?
You mean all the states she can't win anyway?
All the states, you know, and that's the thing. You know, I'm not saying Democratic votes don't count in the Confederacy, but you know what? If you want to determine who the nominee's going to be, you better, by God, deliver your fucking state for the Democratic candidate. And they can't do it in Alabama or Mississippi or Tennessee or Georgia or South Carolina. They can't do it.
They can't do it.
It will not happen. But if you subtract out the Confederacy from her delegate total, she can't see Bernie Sanders' smoke.
No, she can't.
You know, and then there's what happened over the weekend.
Oh, you mean how, Bernie won some states. And boy, do you see Hillary's momentum?
I mean, where, and again, not bashing, but I think any informed, politically oriented person who's a Democrat, progressive preferably, has the right to ask, where are her 30,000 person rallies?
Well,
I mean, am I just missing them?
No, because she's too busy going to $50,000 a plate fundraisers.
I thought it was 330,000.
Well, it probably is. I was being nice. This is as nice as I get today.
Yeah, well, I understand.
I'm done. I tried the middle of the road, and it wasn't good enough. You know, Hillary defeats Hillary. Hillary's fans are secondarily responsible for Hillary defeating Hillary. Because they will not tolerate anyone voting their conscience through the primary process.
And see, that's the thing. Bernie has repeatedly insisted upon civility from his campaign, and I've tried to enforce that on my Facebook page. I've got a standing, no Hitlery, no Killery rule. I won't tolerate it. You know, critique her policy, critique her mistakes, her horrible lapses in judgment.
Yes.
But that stuff, no. And it's in effect in the chat room too. As far as I know, I've asked for it to be. But there's been no such, there's been no such orders coming downhill from her campaign. And so, and you know, that's the way they tend to operate, you know, wink and a nod. I'm going to ask you a question.
Sure.
And you can kind of play with it as we talk. If you can you call up that thing I wrote yesterday?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, I know the one you're talking about.
would you participate with me in some horn radio theater?
Oh, absolutely. Give me just a moment. A lot of people post on your page, so it'll take me a while to get down here.
And the fact that
Facebook likes to hide stuff.
I have no idea what goes on with Facebook. Okay, Sparky tells me yes, Bob. It's in effect in the chat room. Thank you, Sparky. And while you look, something I posted earlier today from Andy Borowitz, who is getting way too close to the truth over at the New Yorker.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Barbie's listening, but I'll do the voice for her. Bernie Sanders failed to impress major media outlets over the weekend as he barely managed to win 70% of the vote in three Western primaries. The major cable networks briefly mentioned Sanders' vote tallies in Washington, Alaska, and Hawaii, but noted that he ran out of steam, well shy of 80%. There's no point in sugarcoating it, one analyst put it. Rough night for Sanders. According to one cable executive, Sanders needs to put up some big numbers fast if he expects the networks to continue giving his campaign airtime. It's going to be harder and harder to justify covering him while he's stuck down in the 70% range, the executive said. While Sanders' campaign officials remain optimistic about the upcoming primary in Wisconsin, media outlets are calling it a do-or-die state after his sputtering finishes over the weekend. I think if he limps across the finish line with, say, 75 or 79%, it's going to be time for him to reassess things, one cable representative said. That would have to be a wake-up call. A spokesperson for CNN could not be reached for comment, as the network was busy preparing a 90-minute special on the birth of Donald Trump's new grandchild.
Okay, I found it.
And that's the goddamn truth, Carol.
Yes. It is the truth.
I mean, they got to be. They got to be a little worried about this. Because, again, she can't win big in big Democratic states that matter in November.
Yep.
She only puts up the curb stompings in Mississippi and Alabama and Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
And the other parts of the Confederacy.
And the places where she was supposed to beat him so badly by 20 and 30 points, like Michigan, Missouri.
Thanks for playing.
Thank you for playing our game.
And what happened in Washington? What happened in Colorado? What happened in Minnesota?
Mm-hmm.
Those are not inconsequential states, although I have seen hilarians refer to them as such. And by the way, a note coming in from Darlene up in Connecticut. Subject line, Hillary fundraiser, $2,700 a plate in Roxbury, Connecticut, a very, very wealthy Fairfield County community. Last week entitled you to a personal photo with her. Blumenthal, Murphy, and Esty all attended. Guess we know who they're supporting. Well, of course, they're superdelegates.
Picture with me for $10.
Yeah. And you never voted to kill any little Iraqi children.
No, I didn't.
But, you know, the fact that, you know, the superdelegate thing is another thing. The governor of Colorado has said, and remember, let's remember that Bernie put up a stomping there, too. And the governor of Colorado said, well, I don't see me changing my superdelegate vote away from Hillary. In other words, fuck the will of the people.
That's right.
And I haven't heard any noises coming out of Al Franken, as much as I respect him on a number of positions. I haven't heard him say, listen, I'm going to do the will of the people who sent me to Washington in the first place.
Right.
Superdelegates in states like Minnesota and Washington, Colorado, Michigan, are playing a very dangerous game.
Yes, they are.
Because they, you know, everybody's talking about how, oh, the Republican Party's falling apart. The Democratic Party is in its own little existential hell right now. By the way, you've got fan mail. Steve in New York says, please tell Carol I love her more than my luggage. Appropriate appropriate gay reference to Steel Magnolias.
I got it.
Okay, so you got it in front of you?
I got it.
Okay, so you know who you're playing.
Yes.
Okay, and we know who I'm playing.
Yes.
So we'll set the scene here. The scene is somewhere deep in the bowels of the Clinton campaign.
A bird, a damn bird. I got my guts stomped out in more Democratic states Saturday, and now he's got an adorable little fucking bird landing on his podium.
Now, hon, quit your fretting. It was just one bird. I'm sure our buddies at Monsanto will make it look like there aren't any more birds at his rallies. Look what they did with the bees.
That's not the point. People are starting to think there's something special about him. Damn it. I'm the special one. Me. It's my turn. Goddamn bird.
I'm telling you, you gotta calm down. Listen, I'll get a hold of David Brock and have him put out a hit piece on the Bird and Blue Nation Review. He can say it was a little bit nutty, a little bit slutty or something. He can call it a moocher or a commie, you know, all that stuff we've got our surrogates saying about you-know-who. Brock's good at that. I tell you, we got this.
Damn that bird.
Look, all we got to do is get some cute animal to come up to you next time you're talking to a half-empty high school gymnasium at one of your rallies. Yeah, I'll call Carville. No, wait, he's only good with snakes. Yeah, hey, I got it. We'll call Clooney. He can use his Hollywood connections to find us a trained seal or something. How about a rabbit? I bet that stunt rabbit from Fatal Attraction could use the work. Remember back in 96 when you said you were going to get a rabbit and... Never mind.
Her dear friend and my mentor Henry has that mockingbird Dick Cheney killed and had stuffed and gave to him. Maybe we could burrow.
Nah, too symbolic. Hey! Remember when we went to Africa that time and you laughed and that hyena came skulking out of the bushes? It was like Dr. Doolittle talking to the animals. Bet you we could dig up the old footage of that.
Shut up. Don't say old. Stupid bird.
This Horn Radio Theater of the Air brought to you by Bob Kincaid and Carol Baker. I was just sitting around yesterday morning. And oh, it pissed off the Hilarians. Oh, they got the vapors.
Why, yes.
Because there can't, we cannot have any humor. There cannot be any laughter in this campaign. God damn it. I mean, it's like the name of the rose or something. Yeah, we must wipe out all laughter.
Well, right now, there's a thread that I'm not even on anymore that's all losing their collective minds over on Facebook when I announced I was going Bernie or bust. Thank you, Hillary supporters. Oh, you're voting for Trump? Did I say that?
So will Jill Stein be on your ballot in Missouri? Do you know?
I don't think so. But there is room to write in.
Yeah, and I mean, look, I've got a streak to protect here, Carol.
Yes.
I have been voting since 82.
78 for me.
And I have never in my life, ever, in any race whatsoever, never have I voted for a Republican.
Exactly. And I'm not going to either.
Yeah, and on the odd chance that there really is a judgment day where I'm going to stand before St. Peter and answer for every one of my sins and sit there while they tick them off one by one by one, I am content to go to that judgment if it really exists and doesn't.
Exactly.
And the first thing out of my mouth will say, We'll take it all as read, Pete, but I want a point. I never voted for not one single goddamned Republican.
That's right. Because in my lifetime, there's never been one that I could go to bed and sleep at night by voting for. I came close once. There, our local state rep, who actually came in and helped me on a project, and I liked him very much, but I distrusted him on certain issues, and sure enough, he went to Jeff City and voted for some of the most horrible crap I'd ever seen.
Well, I mean, and it's like that school board guy that I ran into on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what's your politics? It's a nonpartisan election. Yeah, I know that. How are you registered?
All politics are local.
Well, I'm registered as a Republican, but I vote like a Democrat. I'm like, Jesus, God,
no,
you don't even have the courage to own your own politics. And, does that lose my vote for your vote for me? I said, yeah, pretty much.
Yep.
Yeah. So, we got people... we got people in the chat room going, well, the topic's been changed in the chat room, Carol, to I never voted Republican.
Oh, you people and your conscience.
Now, I confess, I have voted green.
I've never even done that.
Back when Joe Manchin... who supports the poisoning of his own constituents. Back when he was first running for the Senate and the Democratic nomination was just handed to him on a platter. In the special election, I think he had primary competition from Ken Heckler.
Hmm.
And Ken Heckler was 94 years old, but had never wavered in his... convictions and never wavered in his commitment to principles of FDR style Democratic Party politics. I voted for Ken Heckler. I voted for a Mountain Party candidate last time through in my House of Delegates race. I have left races blank.
Yes, I've done that.
Just because there was no choice,
right?
And for me, living where I do, Carol, unfortunately, that happens quite often,
yes.
Where the race will be between one white guy who wants to poison me, and another white guy who wants to poison me, or a white guy who wants to poison me, and a white lady who wants to poison me.
Poison you, yeah.
And I refuse to vote for being poisoned.
I agree. I'm going to assume that Jill Stein is probably going to be on our ballot. I took a picture of my primary ballot, which is against the law, but, you know, let them come fucking find me. On my Democratic ballot in the primary, it had Hillary Clinton first, Henry Hughes, H-E-W-E-S, Rocky De La Fuente, Bernie Sanders, Keith Judd, Willie Wilson, Martin O'Malley, John Wolfe, John Adams. Holy fuck, John Adams? Oh, not that John Adams.
Well, I was going to say, he's got to be moving a little slow.
I was going to say, this is a really old ballot. No, it's J-O-N Adams and uncommitted.
Hmm.
But, of course, Jill Stein wouldn't have been on that one because it's a closed primary. And I had to get a Democratic ballot in order to vote for Bernie. And then I immediately resigned from the Democratic Party.
Really?
Yes, because I'm not going to do this anymore. If I have to declare myself a Democrat in order to find a decent person to vote for just for the primary purposes, that's fine, but they're not getting any of my money anymore. I've always sent money to the Democrats, always. Sent money to the DNC. No more. no more. With the shenanigans that have been pulled and the clear bias for Secretary Clinton and the Bernie's not a Democrat and the fixing of the primaries. Nah. Done. And I'm not even going to say that, I'm not going to be one of those people that say, oh, I didn't leave the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party left me. The truth is, the Democratic Party is exactly what it has always been. It's just really unashamed about showing.
And let's be clear here. I'm not by any stretch of the imagination trying to take any fire out of your argument, Carol. We're too near, dear, and close for that. But anybody who thinks that Hillary Clinton is going to carry Missouri probably thinks she's going to carry Alabama, too.
Oh, I don't think she's going to carry Missouri. She's not going to carry Missouri.
I mean,
Missouri was always a bellwether state until Obama. And I'm sorry, but this was a border state during the Civil War. Never were they going to vote for a wrong colored. Ever. Sorry, that's my new phrase.
Never, ever. And, I mean, I have to deal with reality here. I'm excited to go vote in my primary because I think we'll probably beat Hillary by about 2-1 here.
Oh, ever since that little coal comment of hers? She screwed the pooch on that one in West Virginia.
Oh, yeah. And then going crawling on bended knee to Joe Manchin of all people. Now see, that's another little inside game. I strongly suspect that Joe Manchin falls asleep at night going, I want to be the VP. I want to be the VP. I want to be the VP. But, you know, your VP chances kind of go down the toilet when your own brother sues you for a couple of million dollars that you stiffed him on.
Pretty much.
Now, I'm being asked how many delegates in West Virginia. I'm being asked that in the chat room. Five. Arthur. And here's the fun part. Up until the 2000 election, one of the most reliable Democratic states in the Union. I mean, we weren't a bellwether. We were just a box that the Democratic Party checked off.
Yeah.
I mean, we went Democratic. God, I think we went for McGovern.
Wow.
Maybe not. I don't know. But anyway, we were a box that you just checked off. Democrats win because that was back before the generation that had learned Republican politics the fucking hard way died off.
Yeah, exactly.
My parents and my grandmother's generation. And, you know, as the late, great West Virginia University and NFL linebacker, Hall of Famer, Sam Huff used to say, I grew up in a home that had a photograph of Jesus Christ and FDR on the wall. And so did most every other home in West Virginia.
And so did most every other home in the Midwest.
And see, the modern Democratic Party has abandoned FDR.
Well, that is true.
And,
America's first Democratic Socialist?
Exactly. And the reason I mention all of this is because of Arthur's question about how many delegates in West Virginia. Five. Just a pathetic, paltry, puny, miserable five. But in the year 2000, when we did not do in West Virginia what we had reliably done for generations, that is, vote for the Democratic nominee, you know what those five miserable, pathetic, puny delegates would have meant?
Yeah.
Those five miserable, puny, pathetic, no good, no account little delegates would have meant that we spent 8 years talking about President Gore. Those five miserable, puny, little, pathetic, inconsequential, no-account delegates would have meant that we didn't not see flag-draped coffins coming home from Iraq and Afghanistan.
That's right.
Those five little, miserable, puny, inconsequential, pissant little delegates would have meant that planes didn't fly into the World Trade Center and the Pentagon and corkscrew in Shanksville, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Because, you see, those five little miserable, puny, no-account, pissant delegates would have made the margin of victory for Al Gore. And Florida would not have even mattered.
Right.
But that doesn't happen anymore.
Nope.
T-Rump is going to have perhaps the highest numbers of any Republican presidential candidate in the history of this state. And Bernie will probably win the Democratic side. But I ain't stupid. I know what will happen in November. If it wasn't going to happen before, Hillary Clinton made goddamn sure it will now.
Yep.
Because of her horrible, horrible, terrible, really bad, awful judgment. And so, and you know what? If it's the booger eater instead of T-Rump, he'll carry this state too.
Yeah, he'll carry this one for sure. During the primaries, I think 8,500 people turned out to vote in the primary, which is big in my county. This is not a terribly populated place. And something like 6,000 people turned out for the Republicans and voted overwhelmingly for Trump. And believe it or not, in my county, Bernie won.
Really?
Yes. Yes, I was shocked. I was shocked that there were 2,500 Democrats in my county.
By the way, we've had a note from Gerald.
Yes.
Resistance is futile. You will be assimilated to serve the Clinton camp.
I'll go to the FEMA camp first.
And Gerald also reminds us, yes, West Virginia has 5 electoral college votes, at least until the 2020 census. Because, see, we're hemorrhaging population here in West Virginia.
Exactly.
The ones that aren't ODing are leaving. I mean, what would I mean? Maybe it's happened in Missouri too. What would happen? Would it even be news if a single county, in Missouri, lost over 2% of its population in a matter of a year?
If it happened in Jackson County or St. Louis County, that would be huge.
Yeah. But 2% of population in a year.
That's
oh, and by the way, you've got a note from our buddy Cindy in the Great Northwest. Subject line, Carol quitting? Me too. Same reasons. After the election. I go independent until we can have an American Workers' Party.
There you go.
And, I mean, look, I understand the nature of America's pay-to-play politics. But if you're going to stand on the hustings and say, I don't believe in it and I want to change Citizens United, well, it reminds me of St. Augustine of Hippo. You did religious studies. You probably know this.
I did.
St. Augustine of Hippo was a very well-educated, well-raised Roman patrician youth, right?
Exactly.
And he studied all the philosophies, and he eventually got around to Christianity. But he got around to Christianity at the same time that he was still kind of going out whoring and drinking and carousing and hell-raising. And so he writes this prayer where he says something like, make me, I'm paraphrasing, I'm just making it up, but close enough. Make me.
Why the fuck not? They do.
Yeah, make me a good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing Christian, Lord. But not yet. but not yet. And that's the same thing. If you stand on the hustings and you say, I want to see Citizens United done away with, no more super PACs, no more dark money, but not yet. Now,
exactly.
Bernie is still out there raising money.
$4 million after Saturday's wins.
And you know what? Not going to give up on him.
I'm not going to give up on him either.
And I still get to vote.
Yep.
And California still gets to vote. Of course, the conventional wisdom out there is that, well, yeah, so does New York. And, you know, she'll show him in New York. Pennsylvania, those other states that haven't voted yet up in the mid-Atlantic, he doesn't have a prayer. And you know what? He may not. But it says something to me that Hillary has said she will never, ever debate him in New York. She's afraid of him on his turf? I mean, she's afraid of him on her own turf?
I was going to say, isn't that her turf?
Yeah, it's hurt. Well, yeah, I mean, kind of. I mean, hell, I'll bet you Bernie would accept an invitation to debate her in an auditorium on fucking Wall Street. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. My cup runneth over. I think a Jew wrote that. Oh, well.
I feel better.
I'm glad you do. We always feel better after we hang out on the ledge.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. I was going to go along to get along, and today finally convinced me that there was no
amount. You gagged on your gaga?
I did. I absolutely realized that I'm not helping matters by capitulating.
Oh, I got upbraided. I got called a three-year-old. By somebody who considers himself a progressive. I got told, well, you need to go out there and work for the progressive cause, not just doing some podcast.
Fuck you. This is your life.
Well, you know, and then there's the fact that I do something besides a podcast. A, it's not just a podcast, it's a fucking live program. And B, there's the fact that I do get out and I walk the walk.
Yes, you do. You've done plenty for your state. Cold River Mountain Lodge.
And I ain't nowhere near stopping. By the way, Gerald notes, Bernie may not make it, but I'm in it with him until he pulls the plug.
Amen.
Earther saying, somebody has to put that out as a meme. She's afraid to debate him on her turf. I like the 23rd Psalm as a meme. Bernie says he'll debate her on Wall Street. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. My cup runneth over. Well, we're at the end, Carol Baker.
Yes, we are.
You know what? And what a lovely way to close out a Moran Monday. Just out here sitting on the ledge, smoking.
Yep.
And deciding that. Yeah, we can climb back through the window after all.
Yeah, because there are more like us out there.
I think so. And I have to sadly note that we will go into tomorrow with a $400 fundraising haul.
I'm sorry.
Well, it's not your fault.
I'm one of the poors.
Well, and that's the thing. It's hard. It's hard for poor people to carry to pick up the slack of George Soros. That's a lot of slack.
He sent all of his fucking money to Hillary.
Well, there's that, too. Yeah. And by the way, I am working on, we're out of time, but I am working on getting us an interview with Bernie.
Good, because I haven't gotten his campaign to answer me anywhere.
I'm still trying. Good. By God, if Cenk Uygur can get him, I can get him.
I'd hope.
Yeah. All right, we're out of here. Thanks, Carol.
You're welcome. Have a good night, my friend.
You too. Bye now.
Bye.
And thanks, everybody, for sharing your time and your precious finite time in this little conversation. Really do have to get out of here. Have a wonderful evening. Catch you tomorrow for Titanic Tuesday. Good night, y'all.